desk, and then proceeded to do lunges and squats in my office. If the President of the United States could find time to exercise, damn it, so could I. "Is he in?" the caller snapped. I scrunched up my nose at the attitude from the woman on the other end of the phone and pushed farther down onto my back toe to tighten the lunge. "No, Mr. Eastwood won't be back until later this afternoon. Can I take a message or assist you with making an appointment?" The breath of sour air on the other end of the line sighed loudly. "Where is he?" What a bitch. I stood between lunges. "I'm sorry, I'm not at liberty to disclose that information, but I'd be happy to assist you by setting up an appointment or taking a message. Tell him to call Allison as soon as he gets in." I knew the answer, but asked anyway. "May I have your last name and ask what this is in reference to, please?" Another loud sigh. Although somehow I doubted it was because she was doing lunges on her lunch hour while answering a phone and trying to hold her patience with a rude person on the other end. "Baker, and it's in reference to our honeymoon." Well, that last bit of information was confusing. Okay. Click. The bitch had hung up on me. "Well, you have a nice day too," I mumbled. After that, I plugged my headset into my iPhone, turned the music up, and lunged with renewed vengeance. Chin up, chest lifted, back straight, long stride, heel pointed to the ceiling, and hold positioning. God, that woman had nerve. What the hell did she have to be so pissy about? She'd had it all, the feather dress, the gorgeous and wealthy fiancé, a man who wrote her romantic notes. I should be the pissy one. What did I have? Her bad luck dress that I couldn't zip, no man in my life, and her romantic fiancé had turned into a man that now wrote hate notes on his same haughty stationery. Bitch. What a bitch. I'd been lunging around my office for at least a half hour, and my legs were starting to give. Deciding to call it quits, I took one last lunge, closed my eyes, and held my position until beads of sweat formed on my brow and my legs began to shake. After a minute or two of strenuous balancing, I had the strange sense of being watched. My eyes flashed open to find I wasn't wrong. The door to my office was wide open, and Reed was staring at me. Startled by the unexpected visitor, I lost my footing and fell straight on my ass. Reed was at my side practically before I hit the floor.
"Jesus, Charlotte, what the hell? Are you okay?"
I slapped away his extended hand and ripped off my headset. "No, I'm not okay. You barged in here and scared me half to death. And this isn't the first time you've knocked me over." His brows lifted.
"I didn't barge in here. I knocked. You didn't answer. So I let myself in to leave something on your desk. Maybe if you were a little more connected with the world going on around you, you would have been aware of my presence sooner. What the hell were you doing anyway?"
"Lunges."
"Why?"
"So my ass won't look like cottage cheese, that's why." Reed closed his eyes, mumbled something, and shook his head.
"I didn't mean, why would you perform lunges in general? I do understand the theory of exercising. I mean, why were you doing them in your office in the middle of the day?"
I stood from the floor and dusted off my hands and skirt. "Because if the president has enough time, so do I."
"I have no fucking clue what that means."
I glared at him. "What do you need, Reed?" Although I was annoyed, I also couldn't help myself. Unintentional rhymes were just funny. I cracked a small smile that I thought I'd hid pretty well. Reed squinted at me.
"You just amused yourself with a rhyme, didn't you?"
"Yes. Good guess." I flaunted a full-blown grin at how entertaining I could be. He rolled his eyes, but I could see the corners of his lips twitch.
"I'll just leave you the invoices that I need processed."
Reed made his way to my desk and then turned back to the door. I'd almost forgotten all about the phone call that had lit a fire under my exercise routine. You had a call while you were gone? I didn't get to email you the details since I was in the middle of my lunges when it came in.
That's fine. You can just tell me. Who was it?
I locked eyes with him to watch his reaction. Allison Baker? Reed's jaw flexed and a scowl marred his handsome face.
Thank you.
He turned and headed for the door again, but I never could leave well enough alone. She said to tell you it was in regard to your honeymoon. Hours later, I felt bad about the way that I'd treated Reed. I hadn't even asked him if he'd gone to his audition last night, and then I'd zinged him with news about a subject that I knew was a sore one, so I could just watch his face. Basically, I was rude because I was jealous from that one stupid call from Allison. As I started to close down my computer for the night, I noticed the green dot was lit next to his name on the company internet email, which meant he was still signed on, too. Without overthinking it, I typed using the chat feature. Charlotte. Hi, I was just about to head out for the night. Can I do anything for you before I leave? Some coffee or anything? A minute later, a response popped up. Reed.
No, thank you. I'm good.
I chewed on my nail for a minute, then typed. Charlotte. Are you busy? Can I ask you something?
Reed. Not busy at all. Just doing lunges in my office.
My eyes widened. Charlotte. Really?
Reed. Of course not, Charlotte. What kind of a nut job do you think I am?
I actually laughed out loud at that response. Charlotte. So, about that question... Reed.
Spit it out, darling.
Of course my last name was Darling, and people had called me by it often growing up. But when I read that last sentence... I'd read it as Reed calling me darling, as in honey, sweetie, baby, darling. I smiled to myself, liking the sound of that, and closed my eyes to try to hear Reed's deep voice calling me darling without it being capitalized. When I reopened my eyes, there was a new message on my screen from Reed. Reed,
I hope you know I was calling you darling as in your last name, not darling as in the term of endearment.
As much as the thought would kill him, there were a lot of times that our minds were simpatico. I decided to feed him his own line. Charlotte. Of course not, Reed. What kind of a nut job do you think I am? Reed.
Touché.
Charlotte. Anyway, about those questions... Reed interrupted with another message as I typed. Reed.
So now it's questions, not question?
I ignored him. Charlotte. How did your audition go last night? Reed.
I was starting to worry about you. It's been almost 24 hours and you hadn't asked yet.
Charlotte. Aw, that's sweet. You worry about me. So how did it go? Did you make it to the next round? Reed.
I went, but I didn't try out.
Charlotte. What? Why?
Reed. To be honest, I'm not good enough. I listened to some of the auditions and realized that it would take hard work to get myself to the point where I would have a legitimate chance of making it.
I was disappointed, but it sounded like he'd at least done some soul-searching by going. Charlotte. There's always next year. Start on some lessons.
Reed. Maybe I'll do that. And thank you, Charlotte. As much as you annoyed the crap out of me over this, I actually did enjoy going to watch the auditions.
Charlotte. You're welcome. Glad I could put my annoying-as-crap skills to good use and be of some service.
Reed. It's late. Why don't you go home?
I didn't think he was asking a question that he wanted an actual answer to, yet I answered out loud talking to my computer. Because I have nothing to rush home to. Charlotte. Can I ask you one more question?
Reed. Why, of course. I love personal questions at 7 at night that interrupt me while I'm working.
Charlotte, I'm going to guess you meant that sarcastically, but I'll ask it anyway. Where were you planning to go on your honeymoon? Reed didn't respond. After a few minutes, the green light turned red, indicating that he'd signed off the company email. I'd clearly overstepped our invisible boundaries again, so I finished shutting down my computer and packed up my desk. I was surprised when Reed appeared at my door, although at least I didn't fall over this time. He had his jacket over his arm and his leather bag slung over his shoulder.
Hawaii,
he said.
We were going to honeymoon in Hawaii.
I must have made a face without realizing it. He arched a brow.
You don't approve?
I'm sure it's beautiful. I figured you for something a little more unique. Hawaii doesn't seem to suit you. Reed scratched at the 5 o'clock shadow on his chin.
What does suit me?
I gave it some real thought before answering. Africa. Maybe a safari. He smiled.
That's actually where I wanted to go on our honeymoon.
I take it Allison didn't?
No, Allison's idea of a great vacation consists of a 5-star spa with daily massages and tanning on the beach while drinking fruity drinks with umbrellas out of a coconut.
So you did what she wanted to do?
I compromised. Her initial choice was worse. At least in Hawaii, I could rock climb while she sunned herself on the beach.
You rock climb?
I used to.
Why did you stop? Reed shook his head.
Good night, Charlotte.
I loved working with Iris. Not only did I learn new facets of the business every time she involved me in a project, but also I felt a real woman-to-woman connection with her. When she asked how things were going, I believed she really wanted to hear the answer, unlike most people. We'd just finished compiling quarterly financial numbers to send over to the accountant when she asked,
How are things at work, Charlotte? Are you happy here so far?
That was probably one of the only questions that I didn't have to ponder the answer to. I love it here. I'm really happy, Iris. I've been meaning to tell you that. I know you took a big risk by hiring me, and to be honest, I probably didn't take the job for the right reasons initially, except that I knew you were a woman I wanted to be around. But I'm learning a lot, and this job feels right for me. I want to learn more. I want to learn everything. Iris chuckled.
I'm glad to hear that, dear. We all feel your enthusiasm. You've really invigorated the office. How about your art? Are you still working at it?
I am, and I think I finally found its place in my life. I always thought my dream job would be to work with clay all day, but I'm finding that I enjoy it much more when I use it to relax and escape.
That's wonderful. And my grandsons? How are things going with them?
Well, things with Max are great. He's really sweet. She lowered her reading glasses to the tip of her nose and looked at me over them.
And my other grandson?
I shrugged. Well, yesterday he knocked me over, and I chatted with his ex-fiancé about their honeymoon, so I probably should answer that things aren't going that well. Iris blinked twice.
Come again?
I laughed. Well, technically he didn't physically knock me over. He just scared me while I was lunging, and my chat with his ex consisted of her huffing a lot and being rude before she hung up in my ear. Iris smiled.
That sounds like Allison.
But on the other hand, I got him to go to church twice, and tonight I have my first climbing lesson, so I guess you could say that even though he'll never admit it, we sort of have influenced each other in a positive way.
Church? Climbing? I think you need to back up a bit, dear. You lost me after Allison acting like a bitch.
Well, it all started with my fuck it list. Excuse my French. You actually helped inspire the start of the list. After our long talk in the ladies' room and you giving me this great new job, I decided to make a list of things that I wanted to do.
Like a bucket list?
Yes, except I'm not planning on dying anytime soon, so I called it a fuck it list.
Creative. Go on.
Well, long story short, I told Reed about my list, and one night I found that he'd started his own list. Something in Iris's face changed.
My grandson made a bucket list?
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it either. But that's how I found out about his secret dream of singing in the choir. So I did some research and found out that the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir had tryouts coming up and told Reed about it. Iris looked pretty shocked.
And he went?
He did, twice. He didn't wind up trying out because he needs to work on his voice, but I think it was nice that he went. And I added rock climbing to my list after he said he was a climber. I've always wanted to try it. It seems like a badass hobby.
Reed is taking you rock climbing?
Oh, no. I said we're tolerating each other and influencing from a distance. I think we're a long way off from playdates. He just mentioned it was a hobby of his, and I thought I'd check it out. I found an open class over on 62nd Street that starts tonight at 7.
I see. Well, as long as he isn't being difficult for you.
He's not. It's funny. The harder he tries to be difficult, The more I see that it's a wall he puts up to keep people out. I know it's none of my business, but I have the urge to slap that Allison for whatever she did to him. A warm smile spread across Iris's face.
You've got my grandson's number. Do me a favor, don't give up on him. I promise if he lets you in, it's worth all the effort, even if it's just friendship.
I nodded. Since we were done for the day, I cleaned up the papers spread out all over the table in her office and said goodnight. Iris stopped me on the way out.
Charlotte.
Yes?
One last thing. If we ever have the opportunity to slap that Allison, you'll have to get in line behind me.
I grinned from ear to ear. No problem. Have a good night, Iris.
Chapter 20. Reed. Apparently, I'd decided on a new path to exit the office these days. Even though I'd been leaving the same way every night for the last 8 years, turning left out of my office, right down the long hallway, and straight out the main entrance, now I automatically go right, then left, then right, and weave around cubicles like a rat in a maze to work my way to the front door. It takes twice as long, and I'd never admit that I took the extra steps to pass Charlotte's office, yet there was an unwelcome disappointment inside of me when I saw that her door was already closed tonight. Grandmother's office was located only a few doors down from Charlotte's, and she walked out carrying her coat just as I passed. Oh, Reed, I didn't realize you were still here. I stopped by before, but your light was off. I had an appointment downtown, but stopped back in to grab some files for my morning showing. Did you need something?
Yes, actually. Do you remember my friend Helen?
Bradbury?
Yes.
Well, her grandson has recently taken up rock climbing, and apparently he's bought some second-rate gear. His 18th birthday is coming up next week, and you know Helen. She's having a party that is bigger than most weddings. I thought it would be nice if I purchased him some new gear as a gift. I'm sure it would put Helen's mind at ease, too. Only, I have no idea what to buy. I can help pick some things out. Why don't I show you some sights online tomorrow when I get back in the afternoon, and we can order stuff for next week?
Oh, did I say next week? I meant tomorrow. The party is tomorrow.
I squinted. The big party is on a weekday?
Yes. Helen is a stickler about having a party on an actual birthday. Anyway, I looked up local places, and there's a store that sells top-of-the-line gear over on 62nd Street. It's sort of on your way home.
I nodded. Extreme Climb. I know the place. They hold climbing classes and arrange group trips, too. Grandmother smiled and pointed a finger at me.
That's the one.
She looked at her watch.
It's already almost 7, and I have an appointment downtown at 8 o'clock. The store closes at 9. I'm worried I won't make it. Could I trouble you to pop in and pick out a helmet for me on the way home tonight?
Sure, no problem. I'll grab something and bring it to the office tomorrow. She hugged me.
You're a doll. And if you happen to see anything of interest while you're there, you should pick it up, too.
Okay.
Have a wonderful evening, Reed.
You too. Extreme Climb hadn't changed much in the 2 years that I'd been absent. The mega gym concentrated more on indoor rock climbing classes than on gear sales, and even though they had more than 10,000 craggy square feet and 3 training walls, one reaching 40 feet, the place was always packed. The guy at the front desk remembered me. I'd done a few of their climbing trips when I'd first started out.
Eastwood, right?
We shook. Good memory. Unfortunately, mine's not as sharp. He smiled.
No problem. It's Joe. Haven't seen you around in a long time. Injury?
Nah, just took a break.
Back for a refresher lesson?
It's beginner night.
You probably don't want to hit the 25-foot wall with them, but the back climber is open if you want. I can get one of the guys to spot you.
Maybe another night. I just stopped in to pick up a helmet for a gift.
We just got the new Petzl Trios helmet in today in flat black, he whistled. The thing is sweet.
It's not out on display yet, but I can grab you one to check out if you want.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Give me a few minutes. If you want to amuse yourself in the meantime, go watch the beginner class. We have a few that strap the helmet on backward.
Should be fun to watch. I chuckled. Maybe I'll do that. When Joe disappeared, I wandered around. Seeing everyone climbing up walls or excited for their first attempt made me remember how much I used to love the sport. Maybe I should give it a shot again. A bunch of guys were gathered at the beginner's wall, looking up while a woman climbed. She was almost to the top of the short wall, about 20 feet up the 25-foot climb, and wore hot pink shorts that displayed a heart-shaped rear from the bottom. I thought that was the cause for the giant smiles they wore, until I heard the moan. Each time the woman climber reached for the next peg, she let out a sound that was an odd hybrid of whimper, moan, and sigh. Sort of like Venus Williams in a tennis match, except way fucking sexier. Clearly, it wasn't intentional because the woman was stretching and trying her hardest to get to the top. But that didn't make the sound any less sensual. She reached again, and the sultry moan shot straight down to my dick. Damn. It had been a long time since I'd heard that sound. Too long. For some reason, it made my brain think of Charlotte. I bet she'd make some great sounds in the sack and was pretty damn uninhibited, too. All that pent-up crazy probably translated into one hell of a firecracker in bed. The woman managed to scale a few more feet and grab onto the top climbing holds with one last loud moan. She stretched high and rang the bell at the top. The group of guys ogling a few feet away clapped and hooted. The tallest of the group said, "Damn, I'm gonna ask her out. I bet she sounds as good under me as she does overhead." Even though I was no better than him, standing there staring at the woman's ass while thinking about what another woman might sound like in bed, the guy's comment pissed me off. My attention was diverted back to the climber when she shrieked a resounding, "Woohoo!" and flailed her arms in the air like she'd just scaled Mount Everest. That voice. Oh, no. Shit. It couldn't be. The woman cheered once again, but it was... I'd know that scream anywhere. She started to make her way down. I watched in amazement, still unable to believe it was her. "Charlotte?" My voice was louder than I'd intended, practically echoing. She turned to look at me, pausing for a moment to catch her breath before she completely lost her focus and landed in a twisted position. "Ow! Ow!" "Shit!" I rushed over to her, then knelt down. "Are you okay?" She looked up at me in a daze, her blue eyes glistening. God, she's beautiful, even when she is a mess. What are you doing here? Can you move your leg? It's my ankle and foot mostly, but everything hurts. A couple of employees surrounded us. Do you need assistance? She held out her hand. No, I'll be fine. We can call an ambulance, are you sure? One of them asked. Yes, she turned to me. You didn't answer me. What are you doing here? Why was she so concerned with that when she could barely move? Is that really relevant? Iris sent me here to run an errand for her. That's strange. I mentioned to her that I was coming here. Why didn't she just ask me? I have my theories. When she tried to move her ankle again, she cringed. Ow! We'd better get you checked out. I'll drive you to the hospital. Can you stand? Blowing out a breath, she said, "Let's find out." Offering her my hand, I helped her up slowly. Charlotte immediately winced when she tried walking. "This is not good," she leaned on me as she limped. I had her wait for me at the entrance while I went to retrieve my car. Helping her into the vehicle, I said, "I'm surprised you lost control so easily. I was watching you before it happened, before I realized it was you. Your balance was pretty impressive." "Well, if I'd known you were watching me, I'm sure my concentration would have suffered. And I lost control because you freaked me out when you called my name. You weren't supposed to be there." I walked around to the driver's seat, then said, "You might want to consider wearing something less revealing. You had quite the cheering squad of men admiring your little hot pants." "Were you one of them?" She cocked her brow, then moved her seat back before kicking her leg up on my dash. "Hell yes, I was." I refused to acknowledge her question. She laughed. "The answer is in your silence, Eastwood." Weaving in and out of traffic, I said, "I'm your boss, Charlotte. All I would need to do is tell you I was admiring you in that way, and you could go after me for sexual harassment." "I would never do that to you, ever." I believed her.
Charlotte wasn't trying to trap me. She wasn't an opportunist either. Sometimes I wish she were so I could find some kind of real fault in her. Keeping my eyes on the road was always a challenge with Charlotte in the car. I glanced over at her. Rock climbing, huh? Right after I told you I rock climbed? Original. I see your stalkerish tendencies are still in full effect. You mean to tell me this was a coincidence?
Not at all. You gave me the idea. I have no problem admitting that. I figured if you liked it, it must be worthwhile,
since there's so little you seem to enjoy. I chuckled. What are you basing that opinion on?
You work long days, and then you go home. There's little room for anything else.
How do you know what I do after I go home at night?
Well, I'm privy to your entire schedule for the most part.
I'm assuming there's not a lot of time for extracurricular activities based on your hours. You work a lot of weekend showings, too.
If I wanted to get something past you, I would, darling.
Darling, as in my last name, with a big D, not a little D, right?
That's okay. I like big D's.
She did not just say that. I bet you do, Charlotte. And in another life, maybe I'd give it to you.
Chapter 21. Charlotte. Reed took me to the emergency room at New York Presbyterian. He stepped out to take a phone call when the physician entered the room.
The results of your x-ray indicate that it's just a sprain. You're very lucky, Miss Darling.
He handed the paperwork over to the attending nurse. So, what do I need to do?
Keep off your feet for a couple of days. I'll leave you with this boot and crutches.
He helped me slip my foot into the boot before making his way out of the room. Reed passed the doctor on his way back in from the hallway. Would you mind helping me up off the bed? I asked. He looked down at my boot, then up at me.
Of course.
Thank you. He extended his hand. I took it, selfishly loving that I'd touched Reed more in the last 2 hours than I had in the entire time I'd known him. He looked particularly hot right now, too. His hair was a bit tousled, and he'd loosened his collar at the top. He'd come to Extreme Climb straight from work in his suit and bow tie, but over the course of the evening, he'd slowly come undone a little. I loved undone Reed.
What did the doctor say?
He said it was a... I hesitated, deciding to bend the truth. He said that I needed to keep off my foot for at least a few... weeks, maybe. The nurse who'd been preparing my discharge paperwork gave me a look from behind Reed's shoulders. She knew I was bullshitting, but didn't ruin it for me. It was an impulsive decision to stretch the truth. I felt bad for lying about the time frame of my expected recovery, but I was able to justify it in my head because it was helping me get closer to Reed. I loved the attention I was getting from him and just wasn't ready for it to end.
Shit. Okay,
he said, rubbing his chin.
What can I do to help you?
You can drive me to my apartment.
Yeah, all right, let's get you home.
Reed looked around as we entered my place down in Soho.
This is nice, very homey.
The decor is shabby chic. Glad you like it. I didn't believe him. My taste was subtle and feminine, and so not Reed Eastwood. Although I'd never seen the inside of his place, I had my ideas about what it looked like. Dark, sleek, and modern. Even though my apartment was in the city, the decor was more country with light and airy colors. I had floral linen slipcovers on the sofas and matching custom draperies. Reed seemed to be hesitant to make his way fully into my living room. He stopped a few feet short of the door.
You can take as much time off work as you need, he said.
Thank you, but I still plan to make it into work. I can just stay off my foot. I may need a ride into the office, though.
I can arrange that.
He slipped his hands into his pockets as he continued standing close to the entrance.
Are you hungry?
Yes, very.
I can pick up some dinner and bring it back for you.
Will you stay and eat with me?
You need me to stay?
I feel like I do, yes. I don't really feel like being alone. He looked pensive, then sighed.
Then I'll stay for a little while.
Letting out a breath, I said. Thank you.
What are you in the mood for?
Anything is fine.
That's not very helpful, Charlotte.
Just get what you like. Reed seemed frustrated with me and suddenly made his way toward my kitchen, which overlooked the living room. What are you doing? I asked.
Going to see what you have in your kitchen.
Reed was rummaging through my cabinets. This felt surreal. Reed is in my kitchen. He took out angel hair pasta, a large can of peeled tomatoes, spices, and a jar of Kalamata olives. He looked behind his shoulder at me.
Do you have fresh garlic?
Yes, I keep it under the sink.
Red wine?
On the wine rack in the corner.
Okay, I can work with this.
My eyes widened. You're really gonna cook?
Why not?
I didn't see you as the cooking kind.
I didn't see you as a rock climber.
Apparently, I'm not a very good one.
You were doing fine, until you weren't.
He looked back at me, flashed a rare yet genuine smile, then said,
I cook for myself quite a bit.
I'm impressed.
When I get home at night, I often don't feel like going out again, so I've taught myself to cook. I enjoy it sometimes.
I lay on the couch, in my absolute glory, watching him move as he chopped with his sleeves rolled up. Every movement of his body was a delight for my eyes as he drizzled olive oil, stirred, and tossed the pasta in a pan. The robust aroma smelled so good, better than anything I'd ever smelled before in my kitchen. He'd cracked the window open, letting in a delicate nighttime breeze. A twinge of sadness hit me. I'd truly missed having a man around, even though I'd certainly never had one who cooked for me. Todd would have just ordered takeout. Unlike my ex, Reed wasn't afraid to roll up his sleeves, get his hands dirty. I was loving that about him. I could see that he was plating two servings. Should I come to the table?
No. Stay where you are. I'll bring it to you.
This night just kept getting better. Reed placed a glass of wine down on the coffee table and handed me my plate. This looks amazing. What is it?
My take on spicy pasta puttanesca. Hope you can handle a little heat.
I can handle more than a little. Reed cracked another smile. He was definitely loosening up. I should injure myself more often if it means getting this kind of treatment. I winked. He sat on the chair across from me.
I do feel partially responsible for your mishap, so I'm happy to do it.
You merely said my name. I was the one who freaked out seeing you there. He took a bite of pasta, then said,
We certainly incite very odd reactions in each other, don't we?
Yes, but I enjoy it. Even when you send me your little blue hate notes, I enjoy every minute of bickering with you. Reed stopped chewing for a moment. It almost looked like it pained him to hear me say that. He cleared his throat.
Let me get you a napkin.
I stopped him from getting up. No, I'm good. He sat back down.
You look like you want to say something, Charlotte.
Reed seemed to be able to tell that there was something on my mind. There was. A question that had been eating away at me. It was none of my business, of course, but I would ask him anyway. Why was Allison calling you about a honeymoon you never took? Reed paused and placed his fork down, and it clinked on the plate.
We paid for all of the arrangements, and the resort wouldn't give us our money back. They would only give us a credit for a stay at one of their locations. Allison has continuously insisted that I be the one to use it.
Because she ended it, so she feels like you deserve it?
Yes. Evidently, the credit expires in 3 months. I couldn't care less, and I don't have the time. I told her to use it or let it expire.
Use it, Reed. Make the time.
I wouldn't use that credit even if I had the time, he snapped.
Come to think of it, I probably would have felt the same way if Todd and I had a trip planned before everything crumbled. Given how strong Reed's feelings for Allison were, it made sense that he wouldn't want to go on what would have been their honeymoon. I suddenly felt bad for suggesting that he go. I get it. You're right. I'm sorry for prying. He lifted his brow.
Are you?
Not really. I smiled. Even though I still don't know what happened with her because you won't tell me, for the record, I think she made a huge mistake.
No, she didn't. She dodged a bullet.
He suddenly got up and took my empty plate back to the kitchen. Okay, what was that about? It was a while before he returned to the living room. Reed walked over to the window and stared out of it for a bit before picking up one of my framed photos. I reached for my crutches and made my way over to him.
"Are these your parents?"
he asked. His back was toward me. "What tipped you off? The jet black hair?" I joked. "They are. Frank and Nancy Darling. Best parents I could have asked for."
"They seem like good people from this photo. But yes, clearly they look different from you."
He turned around to face me and surprised me when he said,
"I noticed you added something interesting to your fuck-it list the other day."
"Spying on my list, are you?"
"What's on my server is mine, darling, with a big D. It's not spying."
"Yes, I did add something I'd been putting off."
"You want to find out where you came from?"
I knew that addition to my list was a lot different from all the others. Lately, figuring out exactly who I am had become somewhat of a focus for me. I'd lost a little of myself when I was with Todd, trying to fit into his career, his lifestyle, his hobbies, instead of what made me happy. And I couldn't exactly figure out who I am without knowing where I'd come from. "Someday I would like to, yes." I added it on there, even though that one is really more of a bucket list than fuck-it list material. Not exactly something I can bang out in a day, nor is it necessarily one of the more enjoyable items for me.
"Well, I think it's brave. Whoever they are, they would be amazed to see how you turned out."
"Thank you. And here I was thinking you just thought I was nuts."
"You are nuts, but you have a lot of endearing qualities too."
"Thank you." A few moments of silence passed before he asked,
"How much do you know about the day you were found?"
"You can Google St. Andrew's Church Baby Poughkeepsie. You'll find all the information in old news reports, and that's about as much as I know. It was quite newsworthy at the time, but to this day, no one knows who left me there."
"That's fascinating."
"I guess." Reed could sense that I didn't really want to talk about it and change the subject. It was probably the only thing in my life that I wasn't eager to discuss. Deep down, I knew I had abandonment issues, but living in denial was always easier than addressing them.
"So, where do you do your sculpting?"
I grabbed my crutches and angled my head for him to follow me. "Come on, I'll show you."
"You shouldn't be moving around," he scolded.
"It's fine." I led him to what technically used to be my bedroom. Reed looked stunned to find that it wasn't really a bedroom anymore at all. A sheet lay over the floor. A pottery wheel sat in the center of the room. My bed, which was covered with junk, was pushed against the wall. Surrounding shelves held both painted and unpainted pieces.
"Where do you sleep?"
"The sofa in the living room turns into a very nice bed. Recently, I've turned my room into an art space. Someday, I'll get to have a bedroom and a pottery room, but for now, this is how it has to be." He wandered around, gazing at my pieces.
"You obviously made all of these?"
"Yep."
"You mentioned once you went to college for art."
"I went to Rhode Island School of Design in Providence for a year, but I ended up dropping out."
"Why?"
"I realized that part of the beauty of being an artist is not having pressure put on you to create. And when that pressure was put on me, that was where my creativity basically ended. I sort of like to just throw raw clay on the wheel and see what happens. A bowl often unexpectedly transforms into a vase, and vice versa. Sometimes my work turns into a useless piece of junk, and other times, something beautiful."
"Like the one I caused you to break that you made for Iris. That was one of the nice ones, wasn't it?"
"Unfortunately, yes."
"That figures."
He smiled. Reed's smile was like a gift. It was rare, but when it happened, it totally consumed me for as many seconds as it lasted.
"Do you have a favorite piece?"
he asked. "You'd be surprised." I moved slowly over to the corner of the room to pick up a small bowl. "This one, actually. It doesn't seem like much at first, but if you look closely and become familiar with it, you see it's perfectly balanced. Small, not flashy, but colorful. Really exquisite."
"Yes,"
he said, looking deeply into my eyes. The temperature in the room felt like it was rising.
I honestly had no idea you were this skilled. It's very impressive.
Wow, I've impressed Reed Eastwood.
It's not easy to do.
It's not. Reed's normally hardened expression had gone totally soft. His eyes were searching mine, and I felt something indescribable, yet very strong between us in that moment. His body was close, and it felt like he could have easily leaned in and kissed me. Maybe that was just because I wanted him to kiss me so badly. Tonight we'd reached a level of intimacy that hadn't existed before. Perhaps that made the physical need even more intense. I could feel his breath a little when he said,
"You'd better go sit down and get off your foot."
Chapter 22. Reed. I felt sick. I think it might have been a reaction to Charlotte's pixie dust or whatever spell she was casting on me. I'd driven her to the office for the past few days. My problem was not that I didn't want to do it. It was the opposite. I looked forward to the longer morning commute while ingesting her scent. I looked forward to her laugh and her ridiculous need to go to two different breakfast spots, one for the coffee, the other for the special kind of muffin. This feeling had followed me around since the night of her little accident. At her apartment, when we were talking about her birth mystery, I'd seen a vulnerability in her eyes that I'd never noticed before. And when she took me into her art room, I'd been truly blown away by her talent. When I got home that night, I couldn't stop thinking about her and spent an hour Googling St. Andrew's Church Baby, Poughkeepsie. There was probably only one thing cuter than present-day Charlotte Darling, and that was the red-faced, cherub-like version of herself from 27 years ago. I might have printed the photo and tucked it away, and I'd take that fact with me to the grave. The story was pretty much exactly the way she'd described it, a total mystery. A baby was found bundled up in a basket and left in front of the church rectory. The person rang the doorbell and ran, leaving baby Charlotte in the hands of the church, then the state, before she eventually ended up in the hands of her adoptive parents. Maybe it was because of the beauty of the little girl, but the news story stayed in the headlines for some time, following Charlotte's plight from the very beginning up until she was adopted 6 months later. As I sat in my office pondering Charlotte, she happened to walk by, carrying a few packages. I noticed that she was walking perfectly fine, with no limp. Just this morning, that wasn't the case. It made me wonder if she was playing some kind of game with me. I decided to message her. "Reed, judging from how you just waltzed by my office, your ankle seems to be a lot better. I'm guessing you won't need a ride tomorrow." Charlotte: "LOL. I thought you were supposed to be at a lunch meeting on the Upper West Side." Reed: "Canceled." Charlotte: "Ah, well, yes, I am doing much better. The rides into the office have been very helpful. While I've enjoyed your charming morning personality, you're right. I think I can fend for myself now. The recovery time has far exceeded my expectations." Reed: "It's far exceeded mine as well, so much so that it seems totally unbelievable. In any case, glad to see you're feeling better. I guess now you can fetch my dry cleaning. I have some shirts that need picking up from Union Street Cleaners." Even though menial tasks like getting coffee were part of Charlotte's technical job description, we rarely asked her to do things like that anymore. Most of her responsibilities kept her in the office or at showings. Her role in the company was expanding, so I was totally messing with her and asking her to pick up my dry cleaning. Charlotte: "I'd be happy to pick up your shirts. Are they ready?" Reed: "I was just kidding. I can pick up my own dry cleaning. You don't need to do that." Charlotte: "Oh." A few moments later, she appeared at my door. Her face was flushed, and she seemed like she had something major on her mind. "Can I come in?" "You don't have to ask." I could see that Charlotte was definitely nervous. I took off my glasses and placed them on the desk. "What's up?" She closed the door, and her heels clicked as she slowly approached my desk. "Is everything all right, Charlotte?"
"Yes."
She rubbed her palms on her skirt.
"I'm just nervous to ask you something, but I told myself that I was going to do it anyway."
"Okay."
"I was wondering if you would like to, well, Just say it. Charlotte looked down at her feet. Lately, I've been telling myself that I'm going to make more of an effort to go after what I want in life. Take the bull by the horns, if you will. And, well, I really like your company. I was wondering if you would want to go out with me sometime outside of work. She let out a long breath. On a date. It felt like all my breath left my body. I was not expecting that. Charlotte was asking me out on a date. She was insane and ballsy and so fucking adorable. And I wanted to say yes. God, how I wanted to say yes more than anything I'd wanted in a very long time. But I knew that I couldn't lead her on, as much as I enjoyed spending time with her, as much as being around her made me happy, as goddamn beautiful as I thought she was. My lack of response caused her to backtrack. Oh, my God, Reed, forget I said anything. It was just an impulsive thing. I really enjoyed our time together this week, and I find you very attractive, and you sometimes look at me like you might feel the same, and that whole thong experience in my office that one night, it was weird, yet sexy, and I just thought that maybe... I can't, Charlotte. I'm sorry, I just can't date anyone right now. The reasons are too complicated to get into. But my saying no has everything to do with me and absolutely nothing to do with you. I think you're remarkable. You need to know that. Okay. She just kept nodding repeatedly. Okay. Can we forget I asked this then? Totally forgotten. She turned around and basically fled. After she left my office, my heart felt like it had been ripped out of my chest. What she'd just done took a hell of a lot of guts. I knew that no matter what I said, she would somehow take it personally, and that killed me. I felt awful. She couldn't possibly know how badly I wished I could have said yes. And her boldness. That was so damn hot. Knowing that she wanted me made it even harder to accept that I wasn't going to be able to have her. As the afternoon wore on, I couldn't stop obsessing about having hurt Charlotte in some way. I wondered if there was a workaround, if there were a way I could spend time with her outside of work, but where it wouldn't be perceived as a date. Deep down, I knew I was bullshitting myself. But if I never put myself in a position where I was alone with her, what would be the harm in spending some time with her? Again, deep down, I knew this was bullshit, but yet I proceeded to walk down to her office anyway. Charlotte, can I speak to you for a moment? She seemed especially guarded. Okay. Pulling up a chair in front of her desk, I said, I was thinking about what you asked me earlier, and I was wondering if, maybe rather than a date, if you would be interested in spending time with me in another capacity, more as friends. What do you mean? Making Charlotte feel better after my rejection earlier was my number one priority. I knew on some level this proposition was complicating the situation even further, but I wanted to reward her brutal honesty with something, even if it meant tempting fate. I'd love your assistance in tackling a couple of the items on my bucket list, namely rock climbing to start, since you're an expert in all now. I'm talking about outdoor climbing. There's this place in the Adirondacks with guided instruction. I can send you the info. We could go up this Saturday. It would be one overnight. Separate rooms, of course. Would you be interested? My cell phone buzzed as I pulled my door closed Friday night. It was after 7, and the office was quiet. Even Charlotte had left on time today for a change. Although that wouldn't stop me from taking my indirect route out just so I could pass her office. I locked my door and dug my vibrating phone from my pocket. Josh Decker's name flashed on the screen. Josh was a retired NYPD detective turned private investigator who ran background checks on all our employees. Unfortunately, we'd gotten burned years ago when we hired a real estate agent without a sufficient check, and he basically used Eastwood Properties as a front to gain access to our wealthy clients' apartments and steal. Our backgrounds were now so extensive, it sometimes felt like we were crossing a line and intruding on a potential employee's privacy. Hey, Josh, what's going on? Same old, same old. Working late, so I have an excuse not to eat Beverly's tuna casserole. What if she saves you the leftovers? Oh, she always does.
and I toss it in the dumpster outside my building before I come in. I tried to feed it to the strays outside my office once, but even starving cats wouldn't eat Beverly's tuna casserole. I chuckled. How did the Erickson investigation go? I'd had Josh run a potential new leasing agent. He's pretty clean. Got one arrest for smoking a joint in college that was expunged. Expunged, huh? Doesn't that mean it's wiped clean from his record? Yet here you are telling me about it. There ain't no such thing as wiped clean. There's always fingerprints, son. I turned left and walked down the hallway on my way to the office exit, slowing as I approached a certain closed door. Charlotte Darling. I stopped and read the gold nameplate on her door, which made me wonder about what she'd added to her fuck-it list lately. Josh, let me ask you, do you think you could find someone's birth parents? Found a woman or father a few months back. He'd sold his sperm during college 20 years ago and was homeless today, living under a trestle in Brooklyn. Wow. I stared at Charlotte's name while debating it for a minute. I have a job for you. I need to find someone. It's personal, outside of Eastwood Properties. So I would want it kept discreet. No mention to my grandmother or anyone, especially not to our administrative staff. Is that a problem? Discreet is my middle name. Email me from your personal account and give me the details. Will do. Thanks, Josh. I hung up and ran my finger over the nameplate. Looks like we might find out who you really are, Charlotte Darling.
Chapter 23. Charlotte. All my clothes were in a giant heap on the couch when Reed buzzed to pick me up on Saturday at 5:30 in the morning. I pressed the intercom before hitting the buzzer to unlock the door downstairs. Running a little late, come up and have some coffee. I cracked open the front door to my apartment and went back to frantically searching for the right thing to wear. I wanted to look nice, maybe even a little sexy, but I didn't want it to look like I was trying to look sexy. Then there was the added complication of the outfit needing to be appropriate for climbing a damn mountain. Reed rapped on the door before entering. I brushed past him in the kitchen, wearing a frantic face, and headed to the bathroom to get hair ties. He must have read my mood because his words were said with caution.
Morning, sunshine.
I have nothing to wear. Reed looked at the floor and shook his head.
Wear anything, as long as it's comfortable.
I growled at him and went back to ripping apart my closet. He fixed himself a cup of coffee and came to stand in the doorway and watch me struggle to finish packing. Tilting his mug toward my already full suitcase, he said,
"You know we're only going to be gone one night, right?"
I glared at him. It was so easy for guys. He had on a pair of sweats and a fitted T-shirt, which, by the way, fit really nice. "I don't know what to pack," he smirked.
"The little shorts you wore to climb the rock wall were a hit."
My hands went to my hips. "I thought you said those were too revealing." Reed scratched at the scruff on his chin, which, by the way, I really freaking loved.
"Let me ask you something. It's Saturday, so I'm not technically your boss, correct?"
"No, the weekends aren't part of my work week. What are you getting at?"
"And we're friends, right? Friends are protective of each other. That's normal, right?"
"Spit it out, Eastwood."
"Well, your hot pants were revealing because of the way your ass looked in them. Not necessarily because you shouldn't wear shorts to climb. In fact, if you asked a professional climber, they'd tell you to wear tight clothes and even tight little shorts like you wore. But as your friend, not a man, I should tell you that you have a great ass, so if you don't want men that are underneath you checking it out, you might want to wear something a little baggier."
My brows arched. "So you didn't notice my ass as a man? Only as a friend, then?" He folded his arms across his chest.
"That's right."
"Will you be climbing behind me today?"
"That's the way it works, yes. A more experienced climber generally takes the rear. That way I can look forward and still guide you on where to grab, and if I fall, I won't be hitting into you."
It was difficult to contain my smirk. He just helped me decide what to wear. "That's helpful. Be right back. Going to change." In the bottom drawer of my dresser was a bright purple yoga outfit that I'd bought last year but never worn. I'd loved it in the dimly lit store, but when I got home, I realized it not only fit like a second skin, but also had a shimmery sheen to it. Not to mention that it exposed my entire midriff and showed off a lot of cleavage for workout gear. I'd deemed it too sexy to wear to work out and tucked it away. But since Reed was only a friend and not a man this weekend, I was certain he wouldn't notice. I stifled a giggle after I put it on and checked myself out in the mirror. The hot pink shorts from my rock wall climb looked demure compared with this getup. Walking back to the living room, I did my best to act nonchalant. Reed was sipping his coffee and checking out the framed pictures on my wall. He did a double take when he got a load of my outfit.
You're wearing that?
Yes. Do you like it? I did a girly twirl to show off that it was just as tight from the back as the front. It's a little tight, but you said that's what the experts would recommend. And since you'll be behind me all day, I figured it's only my friend looking up at my ass in tight pants all day, not a man. I hadn't given any real thought to what Reed's day would be like, rock climbing with a first-timer. I guess I just pictured us both climbing Mount Everest today, rather than the reality of learning to climb outdoors. Since the group he'd signed us up for were all beginners, we'd spent all morning learning basic climbing techniques, such as rappelling and belaying. We broke for lunch without anyone scaling more than 5 feet up during practice. I feel terrible. You're stuck listening to all this training when you could be doing actual climbing. The tour company we were with had brought bag lunches for everyone, and Reed and I went to sit on a big flat rock away from the group to eat.
That's okay. I haven't climbed in a while. It's a sport in which you definitely want to err on the side of caution, so the refresher course can't hurt.
I unwrapped a ham and cheese sandwich. Reed had picked turkey, and his looked really good, too. Do you like ham? Want to go half-half?
Sure.
I took the biggest bite. Oh, my God. Is this the most delicious thing you've ever tasted, or am I just famished? Reed smiled.
Outdoor climbing makes you really hungry. I can be inside climbing a rock wall for hours and never get hungry. Yet if I do one climb out here, I'm starving. Must be the fresh air and added exhilaration of not having bolted synthetic rocks to grab onto.
He was right. I had barely climbed a few feet during the morning training session, and it was already completely exhilarating. How long has it been since you climbed?
Close to about 2 years, maybe.
What made you take a break? Something in Reed's face changed. He'd gone from carefree and open to tense and shut down from one simple question.
It was time, he said.
Since he had nowhere to run today, I pushed. That's vague. How about a more specific answer? He shoved a giant piece of his sandwich into his mouth. Definitely buying time to answer. I kept my eyes trained on him, letting him know I'd wait for his response. Plus, the way his Adam's apple bobbed up and down when he swallowed was really damn sexy to watch.
There's been a lot of change in my life over the last year, so I guess climbing has sort of taken a back seat.
You mean because of Allison?
Among other things, yes.
What other things?
Charlotte.
Reed hit me with that warning tone. Don't Charlotte me. We're supposed to be friends, remember? This is what friends do. They talk. They share.
A guy and a girl don't sit around and talk about their lives and tell each other secrets unless they're a couple.
I straightened my spine. So pretend I'm a guy friend. Reed's eyes dropped to my cleavage, then returned to mine.
That's not possible.
I sighed loudly. You know what happens when people open up to each other? Reed didn't answer, so I continued via a demonstration. I cupped my hands together tight as if I was holding a ball inside them. This is someone who is closed off. No one can get in, but nothing can get out either. I opened my hands and held them cupped side by side, as if I were waiting for someone to place something in them. See? This is open. You might have to let someone in that you weren't expecting, but it also allows the people that you had stuck inside to leave. Reed stared at me for a long time, then abruptly got up.
I'm gonna take a walk. I'll be back before the afternoon session begins at 1.
Reed returned just as we all gathered together again as a group, which I assumed was the point. I couldn't prod him in front of a dozen other people. Well, I could, but he was reasonably sure I wouldn't. He stood right behind me as the instructor spoke about the first climb we were going to do. My skin prickled, and it had nothing to do with the temperature outside. The man had a major effect on me, and I was certain